And if they tell us that your idea is not correct, we might get hurt because we want to look smart. And we don't understand that it doesn't matter if I look this way or the other way. What matters is that God loves me. Otherwise, he wouldn't have created me. And if I truly believe and love God back, it doesn't matter what happens. So even if they call me a doormat, even if they behave to me like I'm a doormat, it doesn't matter. But see, Jesus, there was a point that he went to the temple and he kicked out everyone because they were selling and buying things, and they made the house of his father an inappropriate place. But at the same time, when they slapped him, he was silent. So everything we do, we have to do it up with prayer. And this comes down to what we said in the humility talk, that if I talk or if I don't talk, you can't say if I'm proud or not if you don't know my motive, if you don't know my heart. So if I say something which sounds humble, or if I say something which is pathologically, I don't have self-confidence and it's a pathological situation, you can't tell unless you know my heart and unless you know my motives. So only God can tell what this is. But for us, for ourselves, the way we should act is that everything we do it out of love for the others. And if we talk to benefit others, and we don't talk to attract attention to ourselves. And if we don't talk, it's for the same reason. If we say that we are rabbis, of course we have to mean it, otherwise don't even say it. But even if we mean it, we need to say it at the right time, the right place, for the right reason. If not, just keep your mouth shut. And that's with everything. I don't know if this makes sense.
Yes, it does. It does. Yes. You raised another point, and I don't want to...
That's right.
When you said Jesus got angry at the temple, and a lot of people say that was righteous anger, but you can't qualify anger. Anger is anger, whether it's righteous or unrighteous. And I have a problem with that. I mean, how do you justify Jesus getting angry and saying that was okay?
I'll tell you two things, if I remember them, because I'm about to forget them. But anyway, I'll start. Yerdes Emilianos, when he was younger, he had an issue with anger. He was getting upset very easily. And this was a problem for his spiritual life, because he was going towards the direction of helping others, helping souls. And this was a problem. So what he did a vigil, an all-night vigil himself. He prayed. In the morning, this passion disappeared. Of course, that's Yerdes Emilianos. We can't do this. But after this passion disappeared, you would see him a lot of times getting, or at least looking like he was getting upset and telling off people. Personally, he never told me off. But there were other monks that he told them off a couple of times, or more than a couple of times. And this raised the question inside my brain, if he doesn't have the passion of getting upset, why does he get angry? This is because this is the only way other people can understand to stop something. It's not because he was not peaceful when he was getting upset. And you can use this technique with your kids. You have to eliminate the passion of getting angry, but at the same time, when you have to tell them, don't touch this, it's hot, you will burn your finger, you have to be firm. They have to realize from the tone of your voice that this is dangerous. They have not to do it. They can't do this. That's not being angry. That's teaching the right way, because that's what they can comprehend. And I think I forgot my second point. Yes. When Jesus kicked out the people from the temple, there is no such thing as righteous anger. Recently, I was talking with someone who's a very spiritual person about justice and love. And you know what he told me? He told me that, what's the opposite of love? Can anybody tell me what's the opposite of love? Because he asked me this question, and I answered and I was wrong. So what do you think is the opposite of love? Just
indifference.
Anyone else? Keep trying. You won't find it. Huh? At least the question that I was told. Sorry?
What's in Greek?
What is in Greek? I'll tell you what is in English, don't worry. Anyone else? So he told me that the opposite of love, I thought that the opposite of love is selfishness, because the one is loving someone and the other one is loving yourself. So I thought this is the opposite. But no, he said the opposite of love is justice. Yes. And this is because there is no justice according to God. God is the most, and don't get me the wrong way, we said we don't use logic here, right? God is the most unjust being. Because if he was just, we would all have been in hell now, like literally. It's each single one of us. We would have been dipped in there up to the hair. And a little bit more. So God is not just, is the most unjust. Like, you see the parable of the prodigal son. He gave up, he basically destroyed his father's inheritance, like, totally. And then his father gave him the first place in his household. How is this just? How does this make sense? Or Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God, and Jesus became human and gave his blood for us. How is this just? This is the extreme unjustness, if there is such a word. I don't even know if there is such a word. So the opposite of love is justice. And this is why when we try to justify ourselves, we don't have love. And usually within the family, we try to justify ourselves. But if you love someone, you don't try to justify yourself. You try to show him that you love him, that you love her. And this is what it is. It's not about justification. It's not about being right. It's not about anything. It's about the family to go ahead, to move on, to go towards God. That's what it is all about. It's not about justification. But we have bad habits, we're addicted to our justification, and we need to detox. It is what it is. It takes time. Just keep it in mind, though. What else? You're afraid of the microphone?
For example, a martyr for God. He loves God very much. And so he's, in the end, he shows, or she shows, that they're a true friend of Christ if they have to, if that's the position. And I think that I understand what you're saying about justice. I think, is that coming from like a bathos of ego? And
it can also come from narrow-mindedness. It can come from a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like the Pharisees, they were narrow-minded. They want to justify everything.
Yeah. So like a lot of things aren't love. So justice is that, doing that isn't love. But I think the opposite is that example of what the martyrs give in the end. Does that make sense?
I understand that you raised a point which is interesting. Yes. So fear
is this isn't love, that's not love, that's not love. What you're doing, that's not. not love. You can say that. But
yes.
The actual opposite, I think. And only God, even I heard that once in my head to really think about it. I heard someone talking, it was another person, and I forgot all about it. And then I happened to hear something again a couple of years later, and I remembered. And because I've had that time to forget and to think about it, and to hear something new again, I tried to make sense of what happened. Yeah. So sorry if I'm using my logic too much.
No, that's right. From what you're saying, I understand, which is a valid point, that when we're afraid of something, the first instinct that we have is to justify ourselves. But the problem is that sometimes we're afraid of our image in the family, for example. Like a father, if the son realizes that the father is wrong, his image might be destroyed. And out of fear, the father will try to justify himself. Sometimes it might work, but sometimes it's better to be the bigamy, if this is how you would describe it, and say to your son, no, I'm wrong. I have to take responsibility for my mistake. I'm wrong. As simple as that. And if the son has a little bit of common sense, will realize that this is what it is to be real, not to try and hide behind your finger, not to be afraid that people might think something of you that you're not. Anyway, it's very sensitive, all these issues, they're very sensitive. And yeah, it's not black and white. Yeah. And anyone else?
I was challenged because a non-Orthodox person sat down and wanted to talk to me. And do you want me to hold it in your shoe? And he was suffering and he couldn't go to see his pastor because of the lockdown and everything. And obviously he has some mental issues, kind of. Before, and he knew me, and I guess I wasn't in a very loving mood at that moment, but I, because he was having a bit of an episode, but when I realized that I wasn't being very patient, because he was kind of insisting, oh, why can't I do this or this in your church, why can't I demand this time of your priest, because I need time. And I thought, how am I going to end? How do I tell someone? So I made him a cup of coffee, and he ate something that was ready. And I tried to understand his criticism. And then he was saying, well, you know, we're all Christians, aren't we? Why can't I demand this in your church, from your priest? I was really stuck. Is this kind of irrelevant? Sorry, it's irrelevant. I'll make it relevant. It's about love. What is love? What is it love? And I was trying to be loving, but I didn't know how to be firm, in a way. And at that moment, like, no theological discussion was going to help, because he wasn't interested in theology about differences or anything. So that's why I just was straight to him. I said, look, I rang up his pastor, left a message for him saying he misses you, and I made that offer.
If I may say a couple of things.
I was a bit stuck and I wasn't very inspired, so. Mm-hmm.